DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome, 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 friends. Welcome to episode 31 of The Rambling Rabbit. We have a guest with us today. This guest is Donnie Brasco. Donnie Brasco is on our staff at DMT World. He is also the owner-operator of Dr. Salamander's Labs. He's the one that created that and created that community and has a whole bunch of stuff going on there with the mycology community. So we have him in the hot seat, and we are very thankful he is here with us. All right, with that being said, let's get on with our interview.
This last year has gone by.
I know. This is what I was thinking about. I was trying to pull up to see when our last interview was, because I'm pretty sure you were my second person that I interviewed on the Rambling Rabbit. And yeah, it's been quite the year. You've had quite the year. You've done a lot this year. Like you've done a lot this year. I'm really impressed, to be honest. Like, you gathered people up, you got people into a community, you're like building this, you know, Dr. Salamander's lab it's thriving and it's alive and it keeps growing, and then it kind of has its growing pains and you got to put your foot down and then it gets back to where it should be. And I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. So what do you think? What do you think? Tell me.
Yeah, things are going good. You know, I'm not really as motivated to like blow anything up, or like I'm not trying to recruit a bunch of people. I think the very beginning of this, the reason I started it is just because you know, I wanted a place for me and my friends to like kind of share some stuff and then just kind of add some more people and help some new people out, and kind of as I grow, like, you know, I meet people and kind of help them out as well, and it's just kind of a little community for like Michael heads and just in general people who are curious to have some questions answered, that they're, you know, it's kind of difficult for them to find questions online or straightforward answers, people with experience.
Yes, because we know in communities, and as they grow, there are there's energy that comes into groups that like to take over and like cause some, you know, cause things. And that's just that's the growing pains of a community. You get people in there and they, you know, they turn out to not be the type of people you think they are, or they've done something and it doesn't make sense why, and you have to deal with it, or have to confront it. We have to talk to people. And that's one of the hardest things I think is hard for people who run communities, is being able to communicate one-on-one with people. I know you do that very well with people. You feel you understand you have to build a relationship with the people that are in your community, because that's trust, that's respect. When people know that they exist, you talk to them, or you say something, or you remember them, like that's a thing. And that's hard, but that's a lot of energy that you have to exude out. And sometimes people will take advantage of that. That's just life, though. Like you learn a lot how to be a leader in a group with understanding that you are still a part of the group. And I think with DMT World, like that's what I've learned, is I'm in the community, even though I may be the person that runs the community, I'm part of the community. I see that in you. You keep it on a nice base level. You try to remind the people you are just like they are. You're in there just with them. You're doing the exact same thing that they are. And that's impressive. That impresses me, because that's how I look at DMT World, because that's how you keep a community together, and that's how you keep the trust in the community. And I know in the micro community, especially, like those guys, you guys get tight. The groups of, you know, that are in the mycology world get very group. They get very, I won't say territorial because I don't think that's a good read, but they get very, you know, bonded. Nice.
Everyone bonded. Talks to each other. And
exactly. And no, if, and it just, it's like mycelium. It just kind of crawls through them, the group, and you all find each other at one point in time, and then you all move on, and then you kind of meet back up. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a neat thing. That's the thing with DMT world, watching the mycology groups come in there, learned a whole lot about just another type of community and how it works, opposed to, because I came from the DMT communities, and there it's a bit different. It's kind of a bit different. Mycologists and the just the straight DMT group people, you know, it mixes, but the feelings, one's kind of a higher feel, one kind of a lower feel. I don't know if that's just because DMT is spiritual, like out, you know, it's the crystal spiritual out and mushrooms more internal and down. I don't know if those has, why my brain sees it that way, but it's kind of cool. So what are you going to, what are you doing with Dr. Where are you going forward with Dr. Salamander's lab?
Hopefully I just can continue doing what I'm doing. I like to basically just share my projects, what I'm doing with my breeding projects. I'm doing quite a few like multi-spore cross attempts where I'm trying to breed different mushrooms and create like my own hybrids.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's been pretty cool, you know, and you know what's awesome is when I first got on DMT World, I was such a noob, and meeting some of these people like I knew like Michael Madness. I met him just on through his YouTube videos, and for some time he guided me to DMT World, and then I found some more friends, and it all transpired from there. You know, the origin of my cultivation experience and journey came mainly from a lot of the people that I met on DMT World. And you know, like Boomer, he was one of those characters that was like, you know, I loved talking with him just because he had such interesting opinions. And you know, he was pretty open to sharing himself. He didn't really care what anybody else said or thought, but out of everyone inside the community, I think he guided me quite a ways as far as just learning cultivation. He was one of the main people who kind of pushed me to start my multi-spore cross attempts. Just some of the posts that he was making, he's like, I'm seeing a bunch of people doing this, and just some amazing results, just some interesting things are happening with it, you know. And he kind of nudged me, he's like, you should try some yourself, you know. And that's kind of where my experience, like when I started doing my own crosses, that's kind of where everything kind of took off. As far
good,
as
good job Boomer doing. Good job Boomer, missed that dude, hope he's good. Do you stay in contact with him?
Yeah, I talk with him a little bit. I haven't talked with him much. I know he's doing good, but I kind of admire what he did. You know, he's like, I'm getting off of social media and just kind of living my own life, doing my own thing, and you know, this whole Facebook thing. That's kind of what happened to the Facebook group, the Dr. Salamander's Lab group, the same way some of these other people in the community started getting reported.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I had gotten reported a couple times. My account was at risk of getting deleted.
Shut down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at that point, it's like I've never really liked Facebook as far as that goes, you know.
Well, and it's not worth it.
The reason I jumped on there is just because some of my other friends were on there, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, start following some of these groups. And you know, originally all of these groups were in DMT World, like the Tat Syndicate. There's still a Tat Syndicate group in there, and I didn't know the Tat Syndicate group outside of DMT World. You know, so going cross platform and finding it on Facebook and realizing like, wow, this is a group of 10,000 people. Like, whoa.
Yep. Because a lot of those people that started those groups came over and seated in DMT World, a group. We helped some of them do that. And then, you know, internet world happens and things happen and other platforms take attentions away. And like some people get a little frustrated with how the layout was, and it was just a little complicated, and or things just disappeared, or people, you know, just people. So, yeah. So a lot of those groups, we have them over here because the people who started those or were in those are the ones like are the ones that started with like Two Life, also known as Jake on Acid. Like he. A lot of the mycologists is over and helped them get started with those groups. And that's how some of them came to us.
Doing some amazing things.
Absolutely. I know that he still shows up on ours and he's posting it. And yeah, that dude, he's good. I love that dude. He's pretty righteous. He's still kicking. And he will always be out there with his pans, growing them pans. Because I have never seen anybody else grow them like he can.
He's like the pan whisperer, you know. He posted some pictures the other day. You know, I've never seen an albino pan cyan, but it almost looked like they were even albino.
They were. They're pretty righteous to look at.
And I've never seen that personally. Honest, I've, you know, pan cyans are, in my opinion, some of the newer, more exotic mushrooms that people have been growing this last. Couple years, and it was grown back in the day before. I think it's an interesting one, because back in the day, if I'm wrong, I think it was described as a Copalandia before it was redefined. But and in my opinion, some mycologists don't recognize the Copalandia and the Pansyans as separate, but even like back in the day they were. And like I guess what I'm saying is, like, some people get that confused, the Pansyans versus the Copalandia, because they have, they're two just different genuses in the species.
So you got some wheels. What are you doing now that you're mobile?
You know what? I have no idea. I'm just like, I want to drive some more. I'm sitting in the car right now.
That's all right. Have you named your car? Did you name your car?
No name. Nothing like that yet.
Not yet. It might come to you.
It's a nice one, though. It's a newer car, 2017. It's a Jeep Cherokee.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Well done.
It's used. So I picked it up off of a lot. But yeah.
That's all right. I drive a used one. Mm. It still works as long as you take care of it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I just need to get around, you know. It's definitely a big help for the family. It helps us get around. Don't have to call anybody for rides anymore.
Yay. That's good. That's like, that's independent. That's good. You can be like, let's go. Let's go do something. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah, this last year was very productive. I moved out of my mother-in-law's apartment. I moved out of my friend's house. I got my own apartment now. We're doing good. I got a car.
Look at you. At you go.
I'm just like, got to continue planning for it.
You're over in California, right?
Yeah.
So how far are you away from all the crazy stuff that's happening there?
Crazy stuff? Oh, like LA?
Yeah, like the fires and stuff.
Oh, I'm not too far. I think that's like a 5-hour drive, LA. My buddy's actually like right there in Los Angeles. Mm. He was like almost at risk of getting evacuated at one point.
Oh, gosh. Mm. That's crazy. That's real crazy. I don't even know what to think about all this stuff. Like, I can't wrap my brain around it. There's just been so much. Everything. There's just so much. I don't even know what
You're doing a good job of at keeping us distracted.
Oh yeah. And it's like ping pong too. Like we don't get a second to like sit and dwell on anything. It keeps coming and keeps coming. And it's like, this is why so many people are losing their minds and going mad and are having anxiety and all the different stuff, because we can't process anything that's happening around us because it's happening so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I think groups and our platform and stuff are so important. Like, that's why they're important to me, because it helps me not necessarily forget about all that stuff, but it gives me a place that is quiet on the internet.
Yeah.
DMT World's always been the place where, there's not a lot of political stuff talked about there. We talk about everything but that. And so, like,
Yeah.
it's a nice quiet spot, because you jump over on Facebook and all that shit's crazy. You jump over on Instagram, all that shit's crazy. You jump over on X, so that stuff's even crazier. Like, I mean,
It's like 60% AI generated crap, and
oh, it's weird. It's just
I
weird.
like
I didn't
DMT
even.
World because it's real. If something in the world is happening, like somebody, if it's important, if it's something controversial, usually somebody, says something
Brings
about it or
news,
there's a conversation about it. And that's how in my eyes, like if something was seriously happening, we would be able to see that ourselves just in general, people
Exactly.
talking, making posts about it.
They would. And I really do think people would come to DMT World because of that. I mean, we have a reach across the world to so many different people, and I'm super connected with everything that's happening in the world anyways. Like, that's where I'm going to post stuff at, because there will be people who won't know about things because they don't venture out onto other platforms. They don't watch the news. They don't watch. And so those people, we have those people in our community that don't go with outside of DMT World. So you're right. Like, anything that is serious that's happening, anything that DMT World, you can go and find it, because it will be posted there. Somebody will post it there. It's just how it is. And you're right. It's not ran by, it's ran by
Like, I
us.
think the most important, like in general, like there's so much things that are happening, but I don't really like to follow the politics of everything. It's just half of it's crap anyways. And
Right. It
but
is. You
like
have to listen and
that.
expose yourself. You have to expose yourself to everything, and you have to like listen to it, but you have to be able to, that's how you can critically think and make a determination for yourself what is actually, how you're going to process and what you even think, or how you think about things. But the people who shut themselves completely off to everything, those are the people I worry about the most. Especially right now, with this brand new shift of energy that's happening, and how fast everything is moving. And like, we're gonna blink and we're gonna be, who knows, AI infrastructure? Who knows? I don't even know what that means. Like, I mean, I understand it. I understand that is, we know it's coming. We've always known it's coming. I mean, there's no stopping it. So, like, I pray a lot that wherever this is going, that we have the best interest, that it doesn't get into people's hands that shouldn't really have it, or shouldn't have their fingers in it. So I don't know. This is really a scary time, because like, this is every science fiction book I've ever read. This is it. Like, I think of my brother growing up with my brother, like, huge science fiction nerd. Like, he everything, like Doctor Who. Like, he used to run a podcast called Traveling the Vortex, and it was him and his buddies talking about Doctor Who. And it started because their one guy had friend had never seen it before, and so they're like, oh, we need to watch it. And then they just started. And so years later, like, they met all the doctors almost. They used to go and like go to their stuff, but like sci-fi all the way. Star Wars, you want to talk Star Wars? My brother can talk anybody, tell you anything and everything about the books, about the movies, about the, you name it, knows it. So like, I grew up with this guy. Like, he has always said he's a progressive. He understands the progressive movement thinking, and not on the left progressive. He's actually meaning like innovation and, you know, future progressive moves of like technology and things like that. So like, I think about him right now and I'm, man, this is, we're in the time and space that he wanted to be in when we were younger. You know, that this is that back to the future moment, you know, right.
One of my older brothers, he works for Elon.
Oh my.
We don't talk very much, me and him. He graduated high school. He credited for like 14 other students that graduated that year because he tutored them personally.
Really?
Before I college. Wow. Yeah, we had like colleges calling. Yeah, and then he kind of left and started working for Elon. This is years ago, and you know, he's a very quiet, secretive kind of guy. I don't talk with him much, but
Does he still work for him?
I believe so, yeah.
Did he move to Texas?
Because
Elon pulled X down there to the main, or does he work in like one of his other companies, like either Tesla, or does he work for the space, whatever the space stuff he's doing? I mean, there's all kinds of things. Who knows? Who knows where he works? Working for Elon, you can work anywhere.
I like to think about that sometimes. I don't know, you know?
I think that's fascinating. Wow. That's
pretty
cool.
He's pretty secretive about everything. I ask him how he's doing, and, you know, it's like he's my stepbrother, technically. But right. He almost talks as if, like, he's not even my brother anymore. He's like, oh, I'm glad you and your brothers are doing good. And
how old is he?
And how old is that guy? Probably like 35 now.
He's definitely older.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
But just the way that things have been going have been pretty interesting. You know, usually people post, and you know, I think that's cool that information is kind of easily see, like you could just on a different, every day is different on DMT World too. You could see some of the past, and then you could see the new feeds at the top, and you know, some of the posts you have been posting about that Ulrich being released has been pretty, just in my opinion, I think that's pretty awesome. I think
it's pretty awesome too. I think it speaks a lot to, especially to me, running a platform. And I don't think a lot of people, unless you really understood what Silk Road was and knew it was part of more the dark web, like I don't think a lot of mainstream people knew about the story. And it is legitimately one of the reasons why we were like, we have to have a rule on our platform that is no illegal, like, because that was a huge thing, because when he got popped, like,
he was just the one running the platform.
He was just the platform runner, and none of the people that were actually doing the illegal things that were on the platform, even the people who were buying the illegal firearms, even the guy that got hired to go kill somebody, nobody served time. Nobody else we even were charged with anything. They specifically went after this dude, gave him 2 life sentences for running a platform.
For years there have been a lot of libertarians talking about it. You know, a lot of libertarians, you know, asking for him to be released. And
right. So here's the deal. I don't know, and I don't know if other people know this, but one of the reasons I firmly believe that they went after him so hard is because of Silk Road and how he had it, because everything was done by Bitcoin. Yeah. It actually like broke the whole open, the whole Bitcoin beginning.
Whole system, kinda,
that's
yeah,
right. And all of a sudden that's when Bitcoin jumped into like where it, you know, it started and then went from there. And so I personally think that the reason they went after him so hard is because of that aspect, because that's when Bitcoin was kind of still a mystery to people. They didn't really understand the whole thing. And then when you found out you could trade products for this coin that the government can't have any access to and can't like track, brilliant.
Yeah. only you have the key to the code. Yep. And yeah, I think I seen a thing where the other day he got out and something about how he still had X amount of Bitcoin saved.
Oh yeah.
Makes makes me want to slap my forehead and go and buy a Bitcoin.
Yeah, you can't own. Well, you can't afford one now. It would just be pieces of it. I don't know. Do you do much crypto? Are you into much of crypto yet?
No.
Well,
if you're interested.
It is. It's interesting. I started dabbling with crypto about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. I don't have the money to put into crypto like I'd want to. And I didn't, you know, back then didn't know as much as I know now, which I kick myself because I really should have been putting, I shouldn't have cashed out some of the ones that I did cash out when I did, because I would have a way more money right now if I would have kept it going. But crypto's
if
interesting.
Only we knew
it's
what
really
we knew now back then.
Shoot. That's right. Man, I'd be different. No, I wouldn't be. But no, crypto's interesting. This is happening. So I encourage anybody who doesn't know anything about crypto, get on and start learning. There is a website. I'm not going to promote them saying you should go here, but I use Coinbase. I know some people use Robinhood. I think that's
Robinhood.
What it's called. There's several different ones out there you can utilize. I think Coinbase is the easiest to understand. They do a lot of there's a learn as you go, and you can earn like a little bit, you know, a dollar worth of this type of crypto. But it teaches you and tells you a little bit more about what the certain coins do, what the difference of things is. You know, I think it's a better
safety
for somebody who's like me.
I
think it's better for like laymen, for layman's people who don't. It's easier to understand. It's kind of general. Yeah. It's very lame. Yeah. So that's what I use, but
like
I encourage people
in our like as far as like, you know, finances go, you know, I think that a lot of people are taking that step into crypto and using it as their form of currency.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's like the next step beyond cards and cash and coins. It's reliable, it's safe.
Well, you have order about crypto, and then they launched their crypto memes. So like there's a lot of stuff happening in the works, and there's a lot of stuff that like I said, so much is going to happen and come at us that we need to start learning now, because there's going to be people that just are so completely lost. There are already people who are completely lost. I had a conversation with somebody on Facebook, and they said, do you think it's okay to tell people when they've posted something that's AI? And I said, well, of course there is. You know, there's a way to respectfully comment or say something and tell somebody that they posted something that is an AI, but it doesn't have to be rude. Some people actually, you know, we'll take it okay. I said, in this age, there's just so many people, especially our younger generation, that so much is happening, and you can't tell nowadays. You can't tell what's real. You can't tell what's false. You can't read something like that's the truth, because I mean, there's just so much. And AI's a thing, but with crypto, I think crypto is going to be a necessity for the future. And the more that we can understand it, I don't ever think that our U.S. Currency will be gone like they think it's going to be, like disappear, because old standards back up and like they're trying to redo some stuff. But I think crypto is going to be come very handy, especially with this AI infrastructure that we're building. Mm. I see remnants of some sort of crediting system with digital credits and stuff. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't want to say the word social credits, because I don't know if that is actually the direction, but I feel that this is where the crypto is going to come in handy with whatever this technological AI infrastructure they're talking about. I just don't know. I don't have enough information. I feel a lot about a lot of stuff that's going on, but I have to just kind of sit back and let it happen and then process it. So there's a lot. What do you think?
Everything in the real world, kind of your credit is dependent on kind of everything, you know? And building that credit up, and that I wouldn't have been able to get my car if I didn't open a credit card account and start building my credit up. And
it's hard, you know, and it's stuff
even now that I'm getting quotes on car insurance, and some of these quotes that I'm getting are like $500 because I just got my license like a month ago.
Oh yeah,
I'm a new driver. Oh.
It's gonna be yes, it's hard. Economics and our learning, our financings and stuff, a lot of us weren't taught how to be successful at handling money, keeping our credit where it should be. Like, a lot of people just were never explained all that. You got a credit card? What? I can go buy stuff? You just went and did it, and then you got to pay for it? What? What do you mean? So, like, oh, yeah. My credit got shot a long time ago. It's been a long journey trying to get back out of it, but I'm not going to die with debt. I've come to that conclusion. I don't want to die with any debt on me.
Yeah. That's kind of the freedom we have, though, is we kind of get to pick and choose our debt.
Yeah.
You know, small steps, you know, don't, we're not trying to catch the world on fire, but at the same time, you know, got to live, you got to be able to finance a car. And at the same time, you got to be able to budget and pay your bills. And, you know, it's something that for sure, it's almost like at some point, like, for many people, that knowledge wasn't passed down to them, you know, and I feel like that kind of responsibility mostly falls on, you know, parents and education systems, you know. I'm one of six brothers, so when it comes to like my mom and dad's relationship, it was more about the relationship and less about the kids, you know, and that's, you know, they ended up splitting up, and I'm only just now starting to learn this stuff and realize, like, man, this is the stuff that maybe my parents should have been worried about teaching me, like saving and budgeting and financing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely make me think, well, like, this is what I'm going to start doing for my children.
Right.
Investing in their wealth and in their future, and and to assure that when it comes to that time, that they are in a way better position than I was in, you know, growing up. And
that's exactly right.
Also teaching them the importance of giving too, because that's kind of part of everything, you know what I mean? You know, helping, like, part of saving, you know, setting certain money aside, you know, spending, saving, then, you know, certain percent should be set aside to maybe even help somebody else, you know?
I agree 100%.
Somebody close, family, you know?
Yes.
But, yes. I think that's the best way to show other people, too. It's like, you don't have to teach anybody with anything else, but by leading by example, you know, this is how we do it. This is, you know, family takes care of each other, you know, you help, you know, and because that's my family, you know, after mom and dad split up, it's all chaos, you know, it's definitely all chaos.
How old were you when they split up?
Man. Probably like 20. How old am I now? 29. Like maybe 22.
I don't know.
Not 30 yet. damn it.
Close. You're close.
I'm on that 95 wagon.
Yeah, I'm on that 49 one. So.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel it in my back.
In your back. What do you do for a job? Like, do you work labor like hard, like? Outside, do you work a job like
around all day, you know, accommodations basically. I work at a hotel.
What? For real? That's fun.
Yeah, the front desk.
That's a great job.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I do the later shift, so you know, I'm there by myself, you know, I'm the boss.
Yeah. That's great. How long have you worked there?
I mean, a total of probably like 5 years now. I stopped working there for a little while, and then they called me and gave me a good offer, so I started working there again.
That's good. That's awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
It's been nice. It gives good. You so like when it's not busy, it gives you a lot of time to like kind of, you know, do what you want. You know, kind of. I kind of use it to for my. Research purposes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not just sit there and learn?
That's right, because well, that's what you do. If the opportunity comes at hand, you take advantage of it. So yeah, that's good. That's good you have that job. Very good. How's your family doing?
Everyone's good. We're doing really good. I've got plans. After I got the car, I kind of sat down with my fiance and I told her, you know, as far as the next goal goes, I really want to start investing in getting married.
Nice. I mean,
we've been together now for just about 9 years, and
oh yeah, know, it's totally time. We've
been talking about it for a long time, and I've been working for a long time, and it's been something that feels like it's just about time, you know. Everything else is—it's all coming together.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, good for you. That's great. Oh, that's good. I bet she was happy.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I'm seeing my son a whole lot more.
That's great. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I got the car, and like, I hope now this is gonna help. With some better quality time with him, because, you know, I should be able to go and pick him up now and go down and spend some more time together.
That's good.
Yeah, because he lives with his mom.
Right. That is great. So what do you got plans for the future? What are you going to do? What's coming up? What are you dreaming about? What's your next moves that you're thinking about in any direction?
As far as plans, I'm really just kind of focused on my college work. You know, some exciting things have been happening in my college community. That kind of changes the game here.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, the whole P. Okra, CO Centrata, the Natalensis, the AFF Natalensis being re-described as PO, Psilocybe Okra CO Centrata. Mm-hmm. That's some pretty, in my opinion, I think it's something groundbreaking. You know, we've seen all of these, this last couple years, all of these people growing Natalensis and only to find out that they're not actually true Natalensis. They're basically the newest, closest relative to the Psilocybe cubensis that we've in recent discovery. It's the newest closest relative, which is in my opinion really awesome, and just come to find out that not many people have actually been growing the true Natalensis strain. So as far as that goes, we've got like a whole new year and there's a lot to learn now about the Natalensis as a species, how it grows, and just I think that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. I know you did. When did they make this determination? Do you know? Because I remember seeing some people having the conversation about it, but I just don't know when the time span of that was.
It was a couple months ago now, I think, or at least a month ago. I know Yoshi Amano was one of the people in charge, and Alan Rockefeller for doing some of the sequencing. I could be wrong there.
I don't know.
There was a lot of sequencing work done on a lot of the AFF natalensis genetics, and just to find out that that they're actually more closely related to cubensis, and natalensis is more closely related to psilocybe chug something. I forget the taxonomic name, but
I'm impressed you even try to say them, because they wouldn't even sound anything like that if I said them. What is it about mushrooms you really love?
I feel like my connection with mushrooms is partly a connection with Salamander yeah. Shoestring. He's one of my friends that I met when I was younger, and he came into my life. He started kind of showing me some of the stuff that he knew about mushrooms, and he was like only 23 when I met him. He was 22, 23. Only knew him for a brief time, I knew him for a while, but he passed away when he was 23. But yeah, he had so much experience as far as like growing outdoor, like wood lovers, ovoids, blue ringers, and something about him passing away and him, we had some spore prints that he had left behind. He kind of left that with us, and that kind of was my inspiration to like kind of pick mycology up in the first place. Like, we had these spore prints, we didn't know what to do with them basically, and kind of devoted myself to learning agar and practicing and so I think it's more of like a connection that I have with a friend, and since I've started eating them, they've been very beneficial in my opinion as far as just in general altogether. I think that I've struggled for a long time with like something like undiagnosed ADHD when I was younger. Definitely my teachers were telling my mom like, oh, you need to go and, you know, have them evaluated, and my mom, you know, being her, was like, oh no, I'm not gonna put my son on medicine, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like that they've definitely helped me as far as that goes, you know. I never in my life would have imagined that I would end up doing mycology and being so good at it.
That's great. It's good. It's good that the mushroom found you and said, come with me.
Cut that out.
That's awesome. So tell me about how you mentioned the ADHD, that you think you possibly are, you're undiagnosed ADHD. How do you think the mushrooms help you out in this area? I ask because I've been reading a lot on utilizing mushrooms, especially microdosing for people who do have severe ADHD, because I have a niece who they have on Adderall, and I'm not so sure that we're not abusing the Adderall after these last couple of years at college and some of the things that I've been, that's just something that I've kind of been watching. And so like me and her father was talking about just alternatives, and I had brought up microdosing mushrooms, and we were talking about it, and he asked if I knew anybody who had been taking any mushrooms for it, and if I did, you know, you'd like to hear about it. So I just, what do you feel? How do you feel that they work with you for the, with this, with the way you feel that you might have ADHD?
Yeah, growing up, I was in IEP. I had like an IEP or what was it called?
Yeah, it's IEP. It's the gifted.
IEP. So I had like individual teacher's aides in my classes to help me. Basically, after the teacher would get done talking, teaching the class, the teacher's aide would come and sit with me and kind of help me understand in my own way and individually. Because it was difficult for me to kind of pay attention and absorb information in that way. I get very easily distracted, and I feel like that's something that I've just, you know, noticed as I've gotten older. Like, yeah, it's a lot easier to notice those kind of things.
Yeah.
Your wife's talking to you, dude, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that and smoking weed has also helped me, in my opinion, as well. I had very failing grades in high school until I started smoking weed, and smoking weed did something to me where I was able to concentrate for the first time in my life and focus on my homework and do it, and it was easier for me to focus. But something like that in a similar way, where I feel like with mushrooms, they've helped me to maybe in some kind of way manage. Maybe
you get the feeling when you take them that it stops
too. You know.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you take the mushrooms that they take all that fuzzy, just like the things that are distracting, and kind of clear everything up and like make it still so you can focus and you can like see what's actually there instead of all the stuff that like sits and like pulls your attention away?
That and they're mood enhancing. They're kind of like because I don't it's very rare that I actually just take a magic mushroom dose and go and trip. You know, I'm mainly just eating like a cap every 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, in conjunction with I've been taking I've been drinking that Rise coffee.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's like the boost of energy that it gives you is something that, you know, I realized like this is what I've been needing. You know?
Yeah. Yes, I drink it instead of coffee now, and I get a better feeling off of it than I do coffee. Coffee kind of is deadening to me at this point in time. But no, I like the Rise as well. I like the way that my brain feels when I'm drinking it. I mean, that may sound strange, but it just feels like I'm alert and I'm more awake, and I've got a little bit of, I don't know, it's good. It's good. Here we are. Yeah. We keep throwing out all these product names. I need some community members that makes their own mushroom coffees, and we'll promote that. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Like finding those people and being able to like promote them out on the website. I know there's a couple of
people on DMT World that have their own magic mushroom farms and do all of this stuff that they're
yes.
Do it all themselves. So yes, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I'd rather. Yeah.
I'd love it. I'd love to have somebody come in the community and let's work with them that makes something like mushroom coffee. Hint, hint, or if like you're out there.
Mushroom extracts on the marketplace.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I like is that Luke Skywalker, that mind sludge? I've seen somebody post something about that the other day, and, you know, I've seen it a couple other times too in the past, and it's always interested me. To the point where it's like I feel like maybe I should reach out to him and see how.
Oh, you should. He'd love it. You'd love it. He sent me a sample. He sent me a sample of it, and it's good. It's good. I highly recommend it because it does. It's very I don't even know putting it into words. You just it's kind of does the same as like the Rise does, but I get a little bit more like my my brain activity goes even more on his brain sludge, but it's not like chaos. It's like I have functional brain activity where I can actually meticulously think about things through, and I don't get the tired brain fog that I do normally when I'm like kind of overdone it. I don't get it with that stuff. You should totally reach out to him. Totally.
Yeah, I think he'd, it's good that. Too. He should be looking for more healthier, natural alternatives as far as medicine goes.
Yes.
There's some stuff out there that, in my opinion, I feel like fungi in general, that's part of our natural, like, we're supposed to be eating these things, you know?
Helps us break down our gut bacteria. It helps us in stimulating different activities in our brains. Absolutely. Like, we've come so far with bad nutrition, bad advice, bad medicine, bad, you know, just it's bad. I went to because I'm a certified herbologist, and when I went to got my clinical medical assisting degree. And my whole dream, the reason I did it was, well, one, I didn't have a job, and my dad's like, you need to go to school. And he's like, I'll pay for it. I said, okay, I want to do this. Well, my dream was I really wanted to get this degree in this. And then I wanted to work in like somewhere that was a holistic practice, because I really, really enjoyed the idea of trying to help bridge the gap between modern medicine and holistic medicines, and like, you know, the uses, and trying to figure out like more holistics that are comparative in a sense of what, you know, our modern medicine was. And so that was my thing. I wanted to learn and be and do that. Well, where I live, if I was 20 minutes the other way, in Lawrence, maybe I could have found it, but in where I'm at, like, those things are not here. So instead of doing all that, I went into optometry and became the insurance administrator for this optometry business that I worked at, which was horrible, terrible job. It wasn't in the beginning, it was a good job, but after 10 years of working with people and their insurance, I have a lot of PTSD because I got yelled at a lot from people who got a bill because their insurance didn't pay, and well, they didn't understand their insurance, and I'd have to sit there and explain things to them, and it was hard. And then I had to manage 5 other locations, businesses we had, and I had to like submit all the insurance and then post all the insurance, and oh, it was bad. It was bad. When I started losing some hair, and I was starting to break blood vessels in my eyes because of stress, because this man, working for this man, really stressed me out. It was time to get the heck out of there. So I did, and I found my current job that I'm at now, and I don't have any stress in this job. It's good. In fact, yeah. I man DMT world from my current job where I'm at, so it's all good.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is cool. You're doing like a shop owner guitar thing, right?
No, that was my part-time job. I don't do that one anymore. My daughter works there still, so I'm there all the time. I just don't make money now. I work at a title insurance company, where we close on house like. People buying and selling houses and properties and stuff like that. I'm a top policy writer. I write all of our mortgage and owner's policies from all of the sales and the stuff that goes on. I'm also the overseer of the policy department, because we have 3 other locations in Kansas. And so I oversee them. But it's a nice, quiet job. My office is all tricked out with my lava lamps and all my Volkswagen buses and my wall hangings and my really nice festive lights that I have. So They all come and hang out. Everybody who works there comes and hangs out in my office because it's just got a really chill vibe. Because the rest of the place is, those people are very unimaginative. And so you walk past my office, you can't help but not walk into it. It's fun. It's a good job. It's relaxing.
The rest of it feels like work.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you walk out of my office and walk down the hallway, it does. It feels like work. And I don't want to feel like I'm at work. It also makes it easier when I decide to have a little trip while I'm at work. Because I like hanging out in my office because I have some mood lighting. I have a few salt lamps in there that I'll turn on and turn down the lights and work. And my people know that when I, you know, they know who I am. Nobody judges me. They're just like, oh, that's her. It's all right, though. It's all good, you know. So I'm in this melodrama. Have you ever seen a melodrama? Do you know what a melodrama is?
I have no idea what that is. Oh. I think, is that the play that you've been talking about?
Yeah, I just currently... I was supposed to be the music director, because I'm the music director at this one of the theaters that's here in town, and it's a smaller theater.
Doing a lot.
Do what?
I said you're doing a lot.
Yeah, I do a lot. It doesn't feel like it at times, but when you start telling people, like when I start telling people all the things that I do, they're like, you. Do you have time to do anything else? But yeah, I'm in a melodrama. A melodrama is a dramatic work in which the plot is like, it's like typically like sensationalized. It's like overly done. It's like, you know, you usually have a hero and you who saves the day. And then you have a heroine who's like the happy, sweet girl who's like the heroine is in love with. And then you usually have like a villain that's in it. And then it's usually like it's a campy play. It's kind of overly dramatic. It's fun. There's like really fun music that happens in it. Everything's kind of overly exaggerated. Like in this one, I'm one of the saloon girls and my character is like sarcastic. She's tired of, you know, it's obvious she's been made again and they never come out, you know, they never pan out. Melodramas are fun.
The whole theater, it does sound, seem pretty fun.
Theater is fun. Have you ever done anything in theater?
No, not personally, I don't think. Maybe when I was younger, but right. not off the top of my head. I have gone to a couple of different plays, you know, when I was younger. I went and seen the Nutcracker. We did a field trip. And,
Yeah.
I think there was two.
Do you have any theaters around you?
No, I'm in a smaller town. It's not as...
Not even any community theaters?
Like a movie theater, yeah.
No live theater. Well, sometime you need to find where the nearest, like maybe a community theater is or somewhere that's putting a play on or a musical. And you should go sometime. I think you'd like it.
Nice.
I've
been looking into finding some cool things to do, you know, now that I got a vehicle.
Trips. And you have children, and so they do children's theaters too, which are super cool. That's what my daughter did for a long time with one of the other theaters here. It was called the Academy shows. She was she was Sebastian in The Little Mermaid. She was the genie in Aladdin. She was Annie in the musical Annie. She was one of the ancient spirits in Mulan. She was not Pumbaa. She was the other one, Timon. She was Timon in The Lion King. So, like, my kid loved doing theater, especially children's theater. because one of the things that she would tell you, she loved getting to see them afterwards when she's in costume, and the kids would come up to her and they loved her. And she always used to say she loved to do children's theater because children were so honest and they were excited and they loved, and they, but they were honest. And that's what she really liked about them, because they would come up and they would tell her, you know, I really liked, and tell all kinds of stuff about it. And she just loved it because she was a big role model to a lot of the kids that came and saw her shows. In fact, there's a couple of them that got into theater because they had come and seen her in a few shows. And so she loves it. She's good. She's talented. Yeah. So you should actually take your family to go see a play sometime. I think you guys would like it and enjoy it.
I'll look into that. Yeah. It does sound like a nice time. Yeah. And my daughters, they love that. You know, my oldest, she is 9 now, and yeah, she is all about drama.
Oh, yeah, she'd totally love it. That's funny. Oh, you're 9. I remember my kids at age. I have a 20-year-old and a 24-year-old. Yeah, that's weird. My 20-year-old's about to turn 21 in October.
Wow, so
when,
nice.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And so when I turn my big 5-0 in January, her and I are going to go to Vegas. And we're going to go have fun in Vegas because she'll be legal. And I'll be 50 and I'm going to have to celebrate that one. Nice. It'll be a good time. We'll be closer to you. Maybe be like, hey, Donnie, why don't you come on over to Vegas?
Yeah. Bring the family.
Yeah, right, bring family. Be good. Be fine. We'll take care of them.
Yeah.
There's lots to do in Vegas for families.
That does sound like a good time.
It would be fun. I've been to Vegas a couple times. The one time I went to Vegas, it was the first time I went to Vegas. I went with a couple friends of mine, right? And they were drinkers. I'm not that big of a drinker. Especially, I wasn't then either, but I'm more of, you know, I like my weed. And so they would partake a little. They wouldn't smoke. They didn't like to smoke, but they liked to eat the brownies that I would make. So on the way between where I live and to Kansas City, which is an hour drive, right? I had made brownies, and I had made them these small, like, little cupcake things. And there were 24 of them. There were 3 of us. We devoured all of those between Kansas City, from where I'm at now to Kansas City. We ate them all. We ate all of the brownies. And so we're like, okay, we get there. You know, we get on the plane. Everything's fine. We're doing fine. I start feeling them kick in. And I'm like, okay. And so my one friend's sitting next to me, and I look over, and she's white. She's pale. She's like, pale, pasty color. And I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, are you all right? She's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. So she gets up, she crawls over my friend, goes down the bathroom. Next thing I know, we're sitting there and this guy walks up, one of the stewards, air stewards, and he's like, is that your friend? And he points to my friend back there. And we're like, yeah, why? Well, it's hitting, like, the weed brownies are hitting heavy. And we're sitting there and we're like, I'm paranoid. I'm so paranoid. I know they're going to know we're high. They're going to pull the plane over. They're going to, you know, every scenario in my head's going on. And we're like, yeah, that's our friend. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys would just let her go back there. And she had face planted. She, on the way to the bathroom, something happened and she stopped and fell forward into the bathroom door and landed on the floor. Oh. And so he's like, she fell, da, 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 and like is coming at us. And I'm so panicked at this time. He's like, I'm just joking. She's fine. And like, there was no relief because I didn't think that was very funny when he did that. But he was like, yeah, she walked back there. And he's like, I was watching her. And he's like, all of a sudden, like, she just stopped and fell forward and smacked into the door. So they made her sit back there for a while until she was okay. But she comes back and sits back down, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, how many brownies did we eat? I'm like, 24 between the 3 of us. And she's like, I don't know if I'm going to. And next thing I know, she's like laying there. She's passed out. I feel so bad. Oh. But man, yeah, I don't eat brownies anymore before I get on. I'll eat them after.
I remember when I was younger, I used to mess around and make the weed butter.
Yes.
In the crock pot.
Yes.
Growing up, my mom and dad were both stoners, which was pretty awesome, you know.
Nice, yeah.
But there's a story. My dad took some of that butter and put it in his baked beans, and he couldn't move. He was like, I need help. Yeah. Ended up having to carry him to his room. And,
those are the best beans he's had in a long time.
For sure. Don't fuck around with edibles as far as, don't, unless you're looking to take a nap.
No kidding. I have a friend I go over and I hang out with every Friday. And a couple Fridays ago, she makes her own gummies. And they're better than anything you could possibly ever go buy. And so she'll make them in these fat, round, gumdrop-looking things. But they're pretty big. And she's always like, she'll tell people who gets them from her. And she's like, okay, you need to cut these in fourths. She's like, don't take more than a fourth because you won't be able to get up off the couch. You won't be able. And so sometimes, see, I know better, but I don't do better. I'm sitting on her couch and I'd had a long day. I'd had a long week. And she looks at me and she's like, do you want a gummy? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, okay, do you want a whole one or do you want a half one? And I look at her and my brain's going half, 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 half. But I said, bring me a whole one. And I ate a whole one while I was sitting there at her house and we're doing our thing. And I'm starting to get relaxed and, I'm starting to kind of feel it. And I'm like, I need to get home before this hits me because I'm going to have to drive because it's hard for me to drive when I'm on it. I don't really like to be in the middle of an edible wave when I'm driving. So I'm like, I got to go. I get home. I pull in the drive. I get out of the car. My legs feel like jello. Like I could barely walk to get into my house. And I get into the house and all of a sudden, my vision is starting to do kind of like that bottle vision. And it's it kind of feel like fish eye, how you look at a fish eye lens and everything's kind of warped and everything. That is how I was seen. And so I get down the stairs and I go and I lay in my bed. I'm just laying I felt drunk without drinking alcohol. I was that gummy just knocked me off my ass. And so I text my friend. I'm like, girl, I said, please do me a favor. The next time you offer me a gummy, don't give me options. Just give me a half. Don't give me options because I will every single time take the whole one over the half. And I will every single time eat it and go through exactly what I went through. And I'm not even sure I really enjoy being that bombed on gummy because, I don't know. I like to smoke. Yeah. I like to smoke flower. That's my favorite. I can do without.
Like, why would you make a candy that I only get one square?
Right. 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 I want to eat it all. Like I buy a weed chocolate bar. Okay. I'm always like, I'll eat just a piece here and a piece there. No, that never happens. You know what happens? I eat the whole damn candy bar. The next thing I know, I'm laid out on the floor. I've got drool coming out of my mouth. I'm not sure where I'm at or what time it is, but it was chocolate. I had to eat the whole thing. That's just how it is.
Yeah, I quit smoking weed a while ago, but that's how I started back up was, I made a batch of brownies. What I did was I decarboxylated about 2 grams of wax and I just made a bunch of cookies. I infused that wax with a coconut oil.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it was the best time ever. You know, it was almost like smoking weed again for the first time in my life. And
yes.
Just reminded me why I loved it so much. And I don't know, something about smoking weed for the first time, like you get like the roller coaster feeling in your gut. It's like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I like, I mean, it's hard to do it, but I like to take a THC break. I like to do a detox, even if it's just for a week. You know, if I can go without smoking for a week, like that is that first that first hit off that pipe or that first drag off that joint, and it hits, and then it start, you can start feeling it. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. That's why I wish I could get high like that every time, but nope, I gotta detox it out and start.
It was like my first time quitting for like, I think my whole life, it was like my first time actually quitting. And I'd been smoking weed for like 9 years, and something about quitting too just affected my dreams. You know, I think when like smoking weed in general, something about it,
it suppresses dream activity.
Yeah, and it also affects our ability to absorb magnesium.
Yep.
Which the magnesium is like, that magnesium deficiency is what they say is the reason why people experience intense dreams after they quit smoking, because your body's able to start reabsorbing that magnesium. And it plays a big factor. It has a role inside of the dream and brain activity when you're dreaming.
Right. So are you back to smoking it or no? Are we not smoking?
Oh, yeah. I'm smoking weed right now.
I was going to say. Because you're like, the first time I actually quit. And then you're like, the last time I quit, it's like, wait, what? Where are we at? Are we smoking? Are we not smoking? Okay, we're smoking. That's good. I smoke too.
Yeah.
I barely said I'm quit.
Same. I just quit yesterday.
I quit. It's easy to quit. I start right back up though. It's all right. I don't think I will ever stop smoking weed. I could think I could put everything else down. I could stop everything else except the cannabis. I like the cannabis too much. I'm afraid if I'd stop cannabis, I go back to smoking cigarettes. I like the whole smoking. I like to smoke things. I like to smoke pipes. I like to smoke joints. I like smoking bongs. I like the whole smoking thing. I enjoyed smoking cigarettes when I smoked it. And I occasionally will have a cigarette if somebody has one. And I still like the whole feeling behind it. I don't buy them. I can't afford them.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with the cigarettes, too.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard habit. Like, not buying them is what has kept me at bay. And, like, my friend that makes the gummies, she smokes cigarettes. So anytime I go hang out with her, I'm like, let's have one cigarette. So every Friday, about every Friday, I have one cigarette. But I like it. So whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's uses for tobacco. We just need to not smoke it with all the chemicals.
Definitely. I feel like that's also something too. Like the government puts restrictions on people growing tobacco.
Yeah.
And like the chemicals that they demonized.
We've demonized through the way that we promoted cigarettes and the campaign, and then the linking it to cancer and like all that whole thing that goes in, and then like the shame factor that came to it. And we've demonized tobacco, which is unfortunate because the actual tobacco plant, and there are so many good medicinal purposes for tobacco.
Yeah.
But because we've done what we've done to it, and we've tied all these other things to it, it's destroyed anybody thinking that we can utilize anything. And that's a shame, because that is a very, that's a crop that is so good for so many different things. And all we use it for is smoking cigarettes, which is kind of weird to me, but whatever. What's your favorite brand you smoke?
I smoke Camels.
Yeah. Wides? Unfiltered? Huh?
Filtered.
Filtered. That's okay. I don't mind Campbell's. I like to roll my own cigarettes.
Nice.
Yeah. I like the way rolled cigarettes taste. But it's one of those things, like, I have to, like, sit down and really think about it because I'm out of practice. And I don't like to use a rolling machine. I like to actually
roll. That's smart, myself. You know, like, not buying them, you know, just doing the loose tobacco. You smoke a lot less, I'm sure, you know, because if you get yours, that means you got to go and sit and roll a cigarette, you know. And
that's right. If I want it, I got to put the work in for it. So then I'm like, do I really want to go do that? Yeah, I smoke way less because of that whole factor. It's a whole psychological trick I did on myself. It is what it is. It's fine.
I did quit for a little while smoking cigarettes, but I started smoking again. I think what happened was I got sick and, like, I don't know, something about being sick. Like, my body was craving cigarettes super bad. Yeah. And what's funny is I started smoking cigarettes and, like, I felt better.
Well, I'm sure there's a scientific explanation behind that that I'm not aware of, but I wouldn't doubt it because...
I had been clean from cigarettes for, like, 2 months, and I was smoking just the Vuse, the vape pods.
Yeah.
And then I got sick, and, like, yeah.
You were smoking the vape pods? That's because that's what got you... That probably is what fucked you up. The actual smoking an actual cigarette, was it a sick? Was it like a lung sick? Or was it a like cold sick?
Everyone got sick for sure. Mm-hmm. It was like a flu virus.
Okay, it was probably,
I haven't been sick like that in a long time.
So the pods probably compromise your bronchial, and you probably your immune system got a little suppressed because it was fighting that. The virus probably went through your house. Now, we do know that tobacco does help in, like, parasites, maybe possibly viral things. I would not be surprised if
now, smoking when you say for parasites, is that like for smoking when you smoke it, or is that like if you ingest tobacco?
Tobacco in orally. Okay. We had a cat at one point in time who she had tapeworms inside of her, and we went in and had her fixed, and she didn't have a lot, but there was a tapeworm inside of her, and the doctor said, "Okay, go." He's like, "I don't know how you feel about this. Go take some tobacco, wrap it up in something, and have her eat it." And it will. What it does is it makes the environment in the system unlivable for a parasite. And she basically just pooped out that parasite because it couldn't stay in there because of the tobacco that she ate.
Wow.
Yeah. Learn some new things.
Yeah, you learn some new things. I'm just like, I think I'm kind of dealing with that same thing now. Waffles had 3 kittens, and now I've got like 4 cats. I've got to get them shots. I got to get them fixed.
Yep. Yes, definitely get them fixed, or you'll have more kitties than you'll ever want in your entire life.
Yeah, we're planning that here soon. We got to take them down there. I'm thinking about looking for like a bundle deal if they'll do that.
You never know, they may. Yeah. Especially how old are they?
They're going on 5 months now, I believe.
Yep, we're getting close. So
they're just
Yeah. I'm not a big cat person. I've had a lot of cats, not because I wanted them, just because they've ended up at my home we had one cat, the first cat that we ever owned. His name was Morris Zigzag Marley. He was an orange tabby cat that one day I was out of town at a reunion, and I come back and my roommate's like, "KB," and I'm like, "What?" He's like, "So there's this cat." I'm like, don't even say it. And he's like, "No, you don't understand. Listen." He's like, "There was this cat, like this kitty." And I'm like, "A kitty?" And he's like, "Yeah." I was sitting there and I heard, "Bill, Bill, Bill." He's like, "I'm looking around," because my friend's name is Bill. And he's like, "I'm looking around," and I'm like, "It's saying my name." He's like, "I look over and there's this little orange tabby kitty cat come walking around." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, so, you know, I looked hungry, so I fed him a French fry. And I'm like, why are you feeding stray cats? That's how they keep coming back. And he's like, I just felt bad for it. I'm like, whatever. So he goes inside, and I'm on the back porch, and the door's open, and I'm smoking a cigarette, and I'm standing there, and I'm all of a sudden I hear, Bill, Bill. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And that's sure enough, that cat was saying his name. And I look over, and sure enough, there is little tiny orange kitty cat. And he was just, he's looking at me and he's meowing. And I'm like, no, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing this. So it gets up on the porch, and I'm like, I'm not even going to look at you. And it's meowing and saying Bill, and Bill comes to the door. He's like, see, I told you. And I'm like, we're not going to. I said, go get a glass, go get a thing of water and go get some tuna. I said, this is the test. If this cat decides that it wants to be with us, it's going to have to let me know and not just come up to my porch. And so I put it in on the other side of the door. And I'm like, okay, if this cat comes in this house to eat this food and everything, we'll keep him. And that cat stayed outside for about 45 minutes and just sat there by the door. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I know, I look over and it slowly gets up and it slowly reaches over and it walks into the house. And then it was at the food bowl and the water bowl and it didn't leave our house. And that's how we got this more zigzag Marley. When we moved to our new house, he didn't like our new house. That cat stayed outside, became the neighborhood cat, like went around to all the different houses. All the people would like let it come in at their house. They'd feed it. He'd go back out and go all over the place. He brought another cat to our house. I guess it was like an exchange program. I don't know what he was thinking, but brings another cat, right? It's a female. And my roommate at that time decides to name this stupid cat Snowball. I hated this cat. This cat named Snowball, and sure, Snowball was there for a couple days, and I go to my room. All of a sudden, I've come out, and I'm hearing meowing, and I'm like, what the hell is this noise? I go to my couch, and I lift up the couch cushion at the end, because there was kind of a hole into the couch. Mm. Sure enough, there's a cat, and there's like five kittens. See that? Five kittens.
Another one, we
did not know that this cat was pregnant when she came to us. Because she was a little malnourished. Yeah. So I'm like, my roommate's like, well, now we know why he brought her to us. And I thought, fuck, I am never going to get. And it was one male cat and the rest were females. Now, the male cat was mine and his name was Jerry. He was a silver hair, long hair, silver hair. He was beautiful. He was beautiful. He was chill. He was so cool. Him and I hung out and we liked each other. He was like, cats I really like besides Marley. And when his older sisters got a little bit older, he left. He got out the house and he left. He never came back. And I thought, damn it. And then those girl cats, guess what happened to them? They got, say it with me, pregnant. Yeah. And I was like losing my fucking mind with all getting to finally. I flip my shit on my roommate. I'm like,
four turned to 20.
Yes. I'm like, get rid of them. Get rid of them all. We were lucky we were able to find homes for all, but man, oh man, oh man, cat in my entire life ever again.
Yeah.
We female cats and I don't get along. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be cheaper to get them fixed now.
Absolutely. Did I just now scare you? I hope so.
Oh yeah, no. I had cats growing up too. That's how it works. You know, they come back when they're pregnant, they have kittens, they leave, and you know,
it's a vicious cycle. Waffles,
you know, she kind of creeped up on me at like 3 o'clock in the morning and freaked me the fuck out. She looked like a skinwalker with her like head all to the side, like mouth open. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Yes, then she came back and ended up in my house. Now she walks with me to the store. She's like,
oh, that's dog. Cute.
She's that's got cute. A she's very emotionally attached. That and the kittens too. They're very, it's like the house of aristocrats.
Oh, I hope they sing and dance too.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, it's been about an hour and 30 minutes. So I'm going to let you go because, well, it's 11:21 here and I got to get up and go do some stuff in the morning. And I'm going to let you go so you can go play with some mushrooms and play with your family and just have a good time. Guarantee we'll do this again because, like, I like hanging out and talking with you. And I think everybody in the community likes to hear you talk about mushrooms and how much you love them and Dr. Salamander's lab and all the neat things that you do, because I think you're a core essential person in our community and I'm doing really rad stuff with everything. So do you have anything you would like to say to DMT World or anybody else listening to this?
Yeah, I've got the Dr. Salamander's lab YouTube channel I've got right now. And then the group that I've got on the DMT World site, the Dr. Salamander's lab group. What I'm doing is I'm just trying to kind of build the group. And I think I'm going to start doing like giveaways. I think every 100 members. So right now I did a 100 member giveaway for we just reached 100 members not too long ago.
Woo-hoo!
And when we get to 200, I'll do another 200 member giveaway. And yeah, just kind of build the community a little bit more, help people kind of learn if they have questions, help people, I'd like to even maybe start a community, I'd manage to do it, but in some way, like a group project of some kind where,
absolutely,
we're all working on something similar.
Yeah. You put some more thought to that and we'll let me know. We'll figure something out. I'll be happy to
do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea of things, that, and, we want to follow the terms of service with the DMT World site, so as far as that goes, we're nothing else but spores, of course, and it's all for microscopy purposes only, but I think that would be fun.
I think so too. Get
some more people together and help some more people learn and grow.
Yep. Spread the love. Isn't that what we say?
She's not happy.
No, she's not. All right, dude. Well, with that being said, I am so glad I got to sit down and have a chit chat with you. It's been a long time. And with further ado, I'm going to say, keep ascending, friends.
All righty. Yeah. Same to you. Thank you very much for having me.